And he's not done yet, church. He's not done yet. I declare to you, God has got more than we're able to take if we will just live right, do right, and honor him. He said he'll give us all things that we have need of while we're here in this world. In the book of Galatians, in the 4th chapter, is where we'll be reading from this morning, and I ask that you pray for us for the time that we're before you, that God will just give us the word, give us his spirit, that we would be encouraged by the word of God today, and that we, each and every one of us, will just examine ourselves and see where we stand with God and where we need to move up, where that maybe if we would have lost in our midst, what they need to do is call upon the name of our Lord and Savior for salvation. And even some of us today that need healing in our bodies and in our spirit, I'm glad we've got an altar that we can go to. And you say, but Roger, we're a Baptist church. I believe that there is healing in this altar, that there is everything we stand in need of in the Lord. In the book of Galatians, the 4th chapter, reading verses 1 through 5 today. Verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And stop reading there with verse 5 this morning. And while you pray, I'd like to take our thought from the 4th verse. And our text today is in the fullness of the time. In the fullness of the time. Everything in life has a time. Just as just a few days ago, the trees were budding and the leaves were getting ready to open because spring was at hand. Now we see time has changed and the leaves are falling. And we know, Brother Wayne, what's coming next. Everything happens in time. You and I, how many of us today can say that we remember like it was yesterday that we was playing outside as a child? And now here we are, hopefully not still playing outside, but grown and taking on the responsibility of an adult and even raise our children and now trying to help raise our grandchildren. Time stands still for nobody. And as long as we live, there will be changes that takes place. How many of us today sometimes look in a mirror and say, that can't be me? Right? Because time has made a change in us. We're not the one. I looked at my picture on the wall this morning at the house of when I was just a young kid, and I think, man, it seemed like it was forever ago, but then again, it seems like it was just a few days, and it's gone. In the Bible, it teaches us that God did everything at the right time. Even though we may look at it and say, God, why didn't you move sooner? Or why didn't you do this first instead of the plan that you had? You see, after Adam and Eve sin, the Bible teaches us that they were cast out of the garden, and unto Moses the law was given, and then God sent judges into the land. And from there, We read about how that they'd asked for a king to reside over them as other nations, and in the fullness of time, God allowed them to have a king. Even though they already had one, they wanted one that they could see with their natural eyes. In the fullness of time, God sent prophets into the world to be a mouthpiece for him. And then we read where the prophets led to Christ coming. Because the prophets could only tell about the Messiah to come. But here in this verse it says, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, into this world. And even though it was in his time, we read a scripture that says, even in the garden, even before the garden, Christ was already on his way to Calvary to pay for your sins and for mine. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And then in the fullness of time, God sent the Holy Spirit that we would be able to know. How do you know that you pass from death unto life unless the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That is what reveals to us that we were lost, and then brings us to the knowledge that, as Reese experienced last Sunday, that we are no longer lost, but we are now saved by the grace of God. See, God had the law given unto man, but in the fullness of time, the law could not do what the grace plan could do. How many people got saved under the law? None. I'm glad you know the answer. And none was able to keep the law. But here come the grace plan. And thank God we are under the grace plan of God that saved each and every one of us. The Bible teaches us today that just as we experience, as I said earlier about being a child, and then coming to adulthood, even though sometimes being a child looks so favorable. But the Bible says, Paul said in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter and the 11th verse, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But in the fullness of the time, if I can interject that, I became a man and I put away childish things. Whether we want to face up to it or not, there comes a time that we put away those things of yesteryear and we start taking on the responsibility of what we have today. I'm always sarcastic, I guess, I hope this doesn't offend anybody this morning, but grown men that hurry home from work so that they can play their games. When I get home from work, I still got work to do, don't you? Mark, he ought to be saying amen real loud this morning. But there's a time when the fullness of the time comes that we have to examine our lives and see the things that we once did, we ought to no longer be doing. And we ought to change to fit the time that God has placed us in. The Bible teaches us that here that you're no longer a servant. As long as you're a child, you're considered as the same as a servant until the time that the Father says that you are now ready to become the heir to his kingdom or to his throne. We go from being a servant to being a child of God. He no longer calls us servants, but he calls us his children this morning. When I read that, I thought about the prodigal son. He said, I left and I am no longer worthy to be called a child or one of your sons, but rather make me as a servant. But his father, when he saw him afar off, he ran to him. And you know the story. He said, this is my son that was lost, and now he is found. You see, in the fullness of the time, things change. And things, as Brother Lloyd said in Sunday school this morning, things are changing at a warp speed in our world today. But you cannot change the Word of God. Time changes, but God doesn't. I know that wasn't Mark. He put it up there, but Barb probably told him what to do. Am I right? Because Mark asked me before about the sign, and I said, Brother, I know my limitations. I am not the creative one. I said, I leave that up to you. And he said, the same, I'm not. So we appointed Sister Barb to give Mark what to put on the sign. And in the fullness of time, he changed it. And I thank him for that. See, in years gone by, God talked to Adam and Eve in the garden. Sin come along and it separated God from man. It separated them. But then God allowed the Levite, the priest, the high priest, to go into the holiest of holy in the temple and to be able to commune with God. And this verse always excites me when I think about when the children of Israel, when the high priest was in the holiest of holy, they would gather around the tabernacle, if you'll have it, the ark, and they would have four of the tribes to the north, three to the north, three to the south, three to the east, and three to the west. And when they would smell the incense burn, and they would hear the sound of the pomegranate hitting against the other pomegranates on the hem of the high priest's robe, they knew that he was still alive and that he was communing with God on their behalf. And what a wonderful time that must have been. But as time went on, men started offering up unfit sacrifices unto God. And God said, I will no longer accept your sacrifices. And from Malachi to Matthew, 400 years, that there was not a word from God. But thank the Lord, in the fullness of time, here come that young man in the wilderness crying. In the wilderness, that the voice that was bringing the news, the Messiah is coming. He may have had on just simple clothing and he just ate simple food, but he brought a big message. I am not the one, but he that cometh after me, I'm not worthy to bow down and to tie his shoe latches. Today, he knew who he was, but he was bringing word about a Savior that was to come. And sure enough, the Savior came to a stable in Bethlehem. And the world did not recognize him as king, but I'm thankful that there are a few of us today that say he is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The time may change, but it will not change his deity nor his title. When we were young, we was under the protective hands of God. But there came a time in our life, because of love of sin and practice of it, that we all stepped out. We stepped out of the protective hands of God. We come to the age of accountability and we stepped away from God. But thank the Lord that there came a time that God spoke to us. How many of you remember that day when the Lord spoke to you? It wasn't on your time schedule. It wasn't within your time frame. But God spoke to you at the right time, at the right place. Some may say that it's not at the right church. I'm not. Maybe as some of our young people can testify that I was at the house, or Maddie, I was in the parking lot of the church. It doesn't matter where we give our heart to the Lord. What matters is that we realize we're lost and on our way to hell, and we say, yes, Lord, I accept you as my personal Savior. The biggest change ever took place in our lives is when God took a bunch of sinners, washed us white with His blood, and made us fit subjects for the kingdom of God. And, Sister Sharon, to your comment that I say so often, I'm thankful that when that fullness of the time came, the fear of dying and going to hell is no longer prevalent in my mind, because God took care of that. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. To the uttermost, I'm saved. Because God sent forth His Son to die for our sins today. Jesus came in the fullness of time. I sometimes have thought, and I don't know, Brother Lloyd, if you've ever thought about this, or some of you others today, none of this was an afterthought to God. It was all in the forethought. But if God would have sent His Son in the beginning of time, would it have changed the course or the history of the world? And the answer is, look around us. No. Because people still would not believe upon Him as the only begotten Son of God. He did not come in royalty. He was not dressed in silk. He did not have the best place to lay His head, but in a manger, in a feeding trough. They laid Him there to show that even though He was God, He was 100% man, born of a woman. In the fullness of time, God sent Him. And church, I've got news for you. He's coming again in the fullness of time. I don't know when He's coming. No man knows when He's coming. In fact, the scriptures say not even the angels know when He's coming. And let's go even further. Not even Christ Himself knows when He's coming. Only the Father knows the time. But I believe this with all my heart. Sometimes you get so anxious. Do you ever just get on the edge of your seat? You're so anxious to do something. You get on the edge of your seat and you just can't wait. I believe that's the way Jesus is today. He's on the edge of His seat, and the angels are dispatched and ready to come. All they're waiting is for the Lord God Himself to say, son, go get my church and bring her home. And time will come to an end as we know it. And we will go home to be with the Lord for eternity. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready? People getting ready for all kinds of things. Getting ready for things that when our life comes to an end, they won't map to anything at all. The things that we worry about today, church, are things that tomorrow will be behind us. And how many of the things that we used to worry about and fret about didn't come to fruition, or if they did, they wasn't as big as we thought they'd be. But salvation is big. I said problems don't look as, or they look bigger than what they are. Salvation looks to the world, Brother Jack, it looks like it's nothing to really get excited about. But once you experience it, you say it may not look like much. But let me tell you, what I feel in my soul, what I feel in my spirit, it is something that excites me more than anything this world has to offer. We know in part now. How many of you wish you knew more about the Lord? How many of us wish we knew more about what heaven was going to be like? We just know in part right now. But when the fullness of time comes, Paul said, we not only know in part, we prophesy or we preach and we teach in part, but when the fullness of time shall come, we shall see Him face to face. And all the questions, all the things that really had our minds stumped through these lives, it will come to an end. And we will see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sitting high upon His throne. And we shall bow down and worship Him like we've never worshiped Him before. I think some of us need an old-fashioned gully washing, Holy Ghost feel worship of the Lord, to just express to God how much we appreciate Him and love Him for saving a bunch of sinners from the devil's hell. In the fullness of time, Christ came that He could come and die for your sins and for mine, and not just for ours, but that He could go and preach to those that was in the prison house and get them out. Because you see, they died looking for the Messiah to come, Brother Eli. He had not come. But when He did come, He did not forget about them in the prison house. God, that ought to make every one of us want to shout this morning. God does not forget His children. He knows where every one of them are laid. And it always thrills my heart when I get to say this around Veterans Day and remembering our fallen soldiers, that some of them, that they're still finding the remains of many of our soldiers on foreign soil. They brought some of them back from Korea not too long ago, and they're still in the process of identifying them. Some of our men and women that was laid to rest in the sea, in the depths of the oceans, that families never got to see their fallen loved ones and bring a closure to it. But the family may not know where they're at. The United States government may not know where they're at. But God knows where every one of His children are at today. And when He comes in the clouds of glory, in the fullness of time, when the trump of God shall sound declaring that time shall be no more, you better have your moving clothes on, ready to get up and go with Him, to meet Him in the clouds of glory, and go home where we will never, never have to face another problem. Amen? I'm tired of problems. I'm tired of people that when we come to church that we can't even worship the Lord because the devil's got our minds so vexed on many different things. He's got our bodies wrapped up with sickness and some of the things that even the doctors don't know what's going on in our bodies. But won't it be wonderful there, church, having no burdens to bear? I'm thankful I get to go to heaven in just a few more days. And you say, well, you're not that old. You're not ready to go yet. Folks, let me tell you, I wouldn't turn down the opportunity if God was to call today and say, would you want to lay down your burdens, lay down the strife, and lay down all the cares of this world, and come on home to be with me? I say, yes, Lord, I'm ready, and I'm ready to go. Because I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of the things that the devil is doing. Becky told me she got her hair done yesterday, if y'all didn't notice. And she told me while she was there, there was a girl there getting her hair cut like a man's. And the devil has got so many of our young people's minds vexed. He's got them vexed. And Lord, you said it in Sunday school this morning. Now I'm going to close. That he's got them vexed worse than ever in the history of mankind. Where girls don't know if they're a girl or a boy. And boys don't know if they're a boy or a girl. I've got a clear cut answer for you. Whatever plumbing you come with, that's what you is. Amen? It's time for men to act like men and women to act like women. And be glad and proud of who you are. I wouldn't want to be a woman. Debbie, you and I have talked about that in years past. And if I was, there'd be no children. I ain't going through that. Yeah, y'all didn't know the pastor felt like that, did you? No. It's hard enough just taking care of myself and Becky, much less a bunch of kids. In the process of time, I said, I'll work two jobs. You stay at the house. I ain't babysitting. Amen. I love my kids. But, buddy, I ain't watching them. That's the truth. That's the truth. You see, I grew up in an era that men worked. And they worked hard. It was none of this working 8 hours and coming home sitting on the couch saying, I worked too hard. I can't do nothing else. Let me tell you what. If you love your family, you can do a whole lot more. Amen. Fulfilling our responsibilities. And as I close this morning, every one of us that's been born again, the fullness of time comes when it's time for us to stand up for what is right and denounce what is wrong. You say, Roger, if we do that, we'll lose our jobs. We might very well before it's over with. But you know, I hear them sing that song from years gone by. If that happens, some way or another, the Lord will provide. Amen. I believe we're at that point this morning, church. Because in the process of time, Christians have laid down their responsibilities and the devil has kept enforcing his people to do their responsibilities, which is to spread sin throughout the world. And we're seeing it everywhere. I can't preach on that more. There will come a time that nor Lloyd, nor anybody else that stands for God will be able to preach what's in this book. That time is coming. One of the presidential candidates has already said, maybe two of them, has already said that if you stand against homosexuality and lesbianism, that they'll take away the tax-exempt status of the church and they will close the doors. And you say, Roger, why you put politics in it? It's not politics. It's the work of Satan himself that is trying to shut the mouth of the men of God. And just like they did the prophets, you remember Jeremiah? He preached and he preached and he preached. And yet every time he preached, they throw him in jail or throw him in a dungeon somewhere. And he even got so depressed that he said, I'm not going to preach anymore. Every month, there are 1,400 pastors that resign. 1,400. Many of them are resigning because they had no place being there. Right? If you don't love the flock, it's a hard job. You try keeping all these sheep in line. Right? You got some of them that just go right along and do what they're supposed to do. Then you got those that like to jump the fence and run out there in places they have no business being, eating stuff that's going to sour their stomach and drinking from water that's liable to drown them. Amen? Today, church, some of them are resigning because somebody heard them testify and thought, man, you're a good preacher. I've heard many folks testify. Just because you can testify don't make you a preacher today. You say, well, what does then? It takes a God calling anointing on your life that you know that you cannot sit there any longer and hold it back. You've got to let it go and say, yes, Lord, I'll go and I'll preach. Even though it may cost me everything I've got, I'll still preach your word. And in the fullness of time, I may be living in your basement. I don't need much. How many can testify? We don't need much. Jeff's got a barn I could live in. Amen. Just a place for me. No electricity and no inside plumbing. Sounds like the houses we grew up in. Amen. In the fullness of time, look where we've come. But look how far backwards we've gone. Amen. This morning, Rob and Sharon, get us a song. I've preached and meddled about as much as I can. We need to realize today God has called us sons and daughters. We're not servants. But yet, Christ taught us that if you love people, you know, you'll become a servant to them. You know who the biggest servant in the house is today? The pastor. It is his job to be a servant to the people. Whatever you have need of. And some of you, be careful. Spiritually, that's where he ought to be. That's where he ought to be. You're brokenhearted. We all should be brokenhearted. Debbie, I don't say this for y'all to cause even more pain, but when I saw your mama sitting there, it broke my heart to see her in such pain. And I say, Lord, just give her a blessing today. And I just didn't pray that this week. I've been praying it all week. Lord, and I know y'all need a touch too, don't get me wrong. But that mother, Lord, I don't know why these things happen. Other than the devil is raging. He's raging. But church, in this little message this morning, let me give you some comfort. Very soon, the devil is going to be bound and cast into that lake of fire for all eternity. There'll be no more broken hearts. There'll be no more pain or sorrow. In fact, the scripture says, behold, they've all passed away, and behold, they're all new in the Lord. And we will never have another dark day when we get there, because he is the light of that city. In the fullness of time, we're going to see it. Why don't you stand while they sing a song of invitation this morning? Just one verse, Sister Sharon and Rob, and then we'll gather in this morning. Would you come with us today? Would you follow your heart today? Yes. Bless that one this morning. Anybody else? Do you know God's got a time for everything in your life? I believe this all my heart. God has got a time for everything to come to us. Whether we receive it or not depends on us. As the writer in Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything. And some of us, we know our time to leave this world is not very far down the road. Amen? How many of you know that this morning? You believe that? You know, and yet, some of you that didn't raise your hand, you're young and you think, man, I've got a whole life ahead of me. We know not the day nor the hour God's going to call and we're going to have to leave this world. Be seated for just a moment of time. Y'all can stay there. I just need to clear something up today. Now, I haven't even talked to Becky or anybody else about this. But this past week, I invited a man to come and be with us in church, as I so often do. I invited him to come and be with me, and what his remark to me caught me off guard. And really, I was embarrassed by it. And he said, my wife has said she won't come back to that church. And I said, but why? And I may not have it totally the way he said it, but he said, my wife came in pants and she was told, don't come back unless you wear a dress. Now, whether that's what was said or not exactly, I don't know. But church, let me give you my thoughts, if I can for a minute. I don't care what they wear in. And bear with me. Because God can change them. Amen. I believe a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. But if we go back to Bible days, Brother Ray, we'd all be wearing dresses. Right? And there was a time when all the Nazarites and even Jesus himself and all the apostles, they had that long hair. And yet Paul said a man ought not to have long hair. Man ought to look like a man, woman ought to look like a woman. We have folks that sometimes come in here and they've come from work or they've come from ball practice or they've come from wherever. And they'll come in and especially young kids wearing shorts. And folks, that doesn't offend me one bit. Now, if a man comes in wearing shorts, I'm not going to say anything to him, but I hope that he sees that that's not customary, right? My whole point in this is that we ought not be scaring off and running off people. We ought to be bringing people in. I'm just giving you my heart this morning because that's what's important. They get right with God, and they will know based upon what they see. Amen. Amen. So I want you to take that to heart. And I don't want anybody falling out, but I don't want us running off people either. Amen. Because we need every member we got, and a lost and dying world needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And those that are away from God. You know, folks, we're one of the few churches left that doesn't have a dress code. And we don't even have a dress code. You know, you say, why do you wear a suit and tie every Sunday? That's just the way I was raised. Right? But there are some folks that can't afford a new wardrobe. And I thought about this, not to be sarcastic or a smart aleck. But if we don't like what they're wearing, somebody open up the wallet and buy them some new clothes. Right? Until then, let's just pray. Right? Okay. Y'all gonna come back tonight? I'm sorry. But that was just, it embarrassed me. And It's a black eye embarrassment to our church. Now, I didn't know anybody would approach somebody and say something like that. And maybe it wasn't said in those exact terms, but that's the message that she got. Okay? And we need to pray for forgiveness. Amen. Tonight at 6 o'clock, business meeting following, and we, today, it's hard to preach when you have all this stuff on your mind. And I was just beside myself. I hope you understand my message this morning. I hope you understand. God bless you. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock.
We should respect the house of God.
Yes.
That's the highest place that God has given us, the house of God. We teach people to respect the house of God. Yeah. We all come as God has laid out in His Word. I don't want to see people come in, into our church. That's a reproach to our church. That's hardship to our church. I believe we ought to respect it for the very highest. God made it very plain. Is there any place you'd rather go than God's house? Is there any place you got higher respect for than God's house?
No.
There's not. I respect God's house highly. And I think we ought to teach that. Teach our jokes. Teach how we bring our kids up to be. I believe we ought to teach them how to come to God's house and respect God's house. Now, Roger, he can say, come as you are, whatever you are. That's what the world's saying. That's what the devil's church is saying. Come as you are, dress as you want, do as you want. Whatever's out there, just come. That's not the way I teach.
I believe that's misunderstood. Yeah. That's not what the law's teaching.
Church code is like it is. Other than that, I would just have the leotards and the really long shirt. I respect the church,
yeah.
And I respect everyone
else. Yeah.
But I don't come here to vilify people for what they're wearing. I mean, I believe that when they come to our church, they'll hear what's right, and they'll look at all of us the way we're dressed, and if they want to come to church, they'll come.
Yeah.
They will change their dresses. So I don't respect people in this church that stands and tell people, you've got to wear a dress, or you've got to wear whatever. If you wear a short dress, just be careful that you don't bend over.
Yeah.
You young people, I know you wear your short dresses, and it is kind of, you know, too short sometimes. I believe to be in church, but
the young women learn from the elders.
Amen.
And I don't want my message to be misinterpreted.
That's right.
Because I don't advocate that anybody come in shorts.
That's right.
Nor do I advocate that